Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny.
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wee.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm the one and only Barry Rosenfeld.
The one and only. Let's get a little vibe check going. This is a stressful week. We haven't talked to you guys since Monday, and it's safe to say a lot has happened, but also not that much has whatever. I don't even know what to think right now.
Okay, let's be news anchors.
How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Good. I don't sleep like in general. I'm not a sleeper. So this week has elevated that to,
yes.
My eyes are just closed, but I'm not sleeping. It's annoying. Like, not if any of you have insomnia, like it's a real thing. It's awful. I don't know what to do. Someone help me. I do not do CBD. Like, I don't do the whole CBD thing. I don't do anything. I don't know. It doesn't work.
I don't have insomnia to the point where it's like consistently an issue for me to sleep in general. Sorry about that.
Oh my God.
That.
Are you okay, Dylan? Guys, Dylan's okay.
Oh my God. Just leave me here to die. Like, I don't have like.
Wait, the sad thing is like, we're not together. So like, if something happened, I can't
my
be like,
roommates
Dylan.
Are here. I'd be fine.
Okay, great.
Like, I don't have insomnia to the point where it's consistently a problem, but there are definitely times where it's, you know, it's stressful or like I have trouble falling asleep. And I find it so annoying, people on social media or whatever who are like, oh, I just like chew a CBD gummy and then I fall right to sleep.
Yeah, no,
but it's like, that is so unhelpful. Come on. Like, please.
Also, that helps for, I mean, I can't speak for everyone. I'm not a doctor, but like, people who have like actual sleeping trouble like myself, that doesn't work. Like, that's not gonna cure me. Like, I'm not taking a gummy before bed and I can go to sleep. Like, it just doesn't work that way. I don't know why I can't sleep, and I just think it's gonna linger for a while.
I know. Sometimes I feel like I'm like messed up because I'm like, melatonin doesn't do that much. Like,
no,
sorry.
it also gives me really weird dreams. What about you?
It's been a while. I stopped taking it in like college because I just didn't think it was doing that much.
All right. Oh, well, that wasn't honestly, that long ago now, was it?
It's been a few years at least. Okay. I will say I was glad to have some new Bravo shows to watch and think about this week because, you know, last night I was like, I have to turn off the news because OC is on, and it was a nice little break. But first
Dylan,
of all, we have to talk about what?
We have something to talk about. In the Bravo world that we didn't talk about on Monday.
Oh my God. While we
were waiting for us.
Erica Jane's divorce.
Like, literally, okay, everyone, Dylan and I were recording another podcast. We did not forget about you guys. We were just wanted in other areas. So it happened while we were recording and we were panicking. We're like, what do we do?
Okay, so Erica Jane and Tom Girardi are getting divorced. They announced this on Election Day, which is, I can't decide if that's like a power move or if they like wanted it to not get attention. I don't know. Erica put out a statement. She said that she has filed for divorce. So it's not like it's not like a Chrishell situation. She's not been like left high and dry or anything. A lot of people are kind of wondering if this is some sort of financial arrangement. We know he's getting sued right now, so potentially it would be in her interest to kind of get whatever she's going to get before he has whatever loss. Dang. I don't know. I have a feeling that this is more of a business deal than anything else.
I can't tell you. I don't know. They're the one marriage you guys have heard us talk about it before. We're like, I was rooting for, I had faith in them. They've been married for 21 years. So another thing is, could it be like any other marriage? Is she bored? Does she just like, you know, want to live
a really
her
long
life?
Time.
I know. And so that's why I was like, yeah, if you think about it, okay, it's a little weird. The age difference, get over it. But like, they've been married a very long time. So it's not like it was like Gretchen and Jeff. Shall we mention
right. It's
that?
Not like a it's not like a few year kind of deal. Yeah. Like I to me, like I don't obviously like Tom has a lot of money and Erica has been open about that. Tom, you know, affords her a lifestyle. But like, I don't think anyone really had the vibe from this marriage that it was like she was only with him for his money. I really it's always felt like she really had, you know, love and respect and admiration for him. And he's been, you know, really good to her. I'm interested to see if they really get into this on next season of Beverly Hills. We know they're filming right now. So, I mean, I can't imagine it's not going to come up, but I'm curious to see kind of Erica's not always the most, you know, open person. So it'll be interesting if this kind of is a little different side of her.
I saw a really funny meme. It was, you know, something about marriage isn't good when your husband doesn't come to your opening night of Broadway. And to be honest, when I saw that actual episode, I was like, I'd be pissed. But anyway, Erica asked for privacy and to respect her at this time. And you know, I will do just that because let's manifest it. And if we give respect, maybe we'll find out what happens.
Oh my God. I can't believe I literally forgot that that happened because it was 2 days ago and they have been the longest 2 days on planet Earth.
I know.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Let's get into the Below Deck season premiere. We are back in the Caribbean, back with Captain Lee. And honestly, it feels really good. I love Below Deck Med, but I was ready for a little switch up. And this already feels like a fresh, fun vibe. We have a new Chief Stew, which is kind of crazy. I miss Kate, but I mean, I don't really feel like I have an opinion of Francesca yet, but I'm not into her.
I have a little one already, but if you close your eyes, you can kind of, I'm like, is that Hannah? Like, I'm so confused. I'm like, you had to get another Australia. I was like, come
on. Yeah. This is an interesting season. It starts with Captain Lee not on the boat. Eddie shows up and there's just like no one there. And he calls and he's in the hospital and he fell in the shower and he said he didn't break anything, so I guess he probably like bruised his ribs or something. But
yeah,
that was scary.
Let me tell you, that is painful, like beyond painful, because ribs are the one thing. There's nothing to do for it, and it hurts right. When you breathe. It hurts when you sneeze, you sleep. It's just awful. So I felt really bad for Captain Lee, but I was like, hell no, he's going to pull through. We're going to have a season. There's no way. I didn't even have a doubt in my mind.
We know.
Imagine we like know that was it. Just, like, they're like,
20
Thanks
minutes
for tuning
into one episode,
in.
They're like, and that was Below Deck.
Imagine.
We actually, This episode was, a lot was going on. Later in the episode, sadly, we saw Avery, who's one of the deckhands, get news that his grandma was really not doing well. And so he left on the first day of the first charter, which, I mean, obviously it's never ideal for somebody to leave under those circumstances. I will say it's like, it's interesting for somebody to leave that soon, because it's like, okay, like, go do your thing, but it's not like somebody that we know and care about. So it's like,
which is unfortunate, because like, I wanted to, you know, like, I wanted to get to know him.
And he seemed so competent too. He was like Eddie's number two.
I know.
We also see, so we have, I had to write down everyone's names because I feel like I'm below deck. It always takes me like half the season to be like, which deckhand is that?
Well, it's true, Dylan, because whenever a new show like that does start, I was the same way. I wrote down this girl when I didn't know Izzy's name yet, because I was like, we don't know these people. I don't know their names yet. So,
okay. So we have, also. So we have Eddie returning as the bosun. Obviously we have James, who is the one who's British and is like already flirting with everyone.
Okay,
a little much, a little strong. Yes. I'm curious to see how that manifests when they're actually like going out and in between charters and stuff, because it could get toxic real fast. Mm-hmm. I hope he's kind of just talking a big game, but you know, we'll keep a close eye on him, because the men of Below Deck, yikes.
I was just going to say, we've talked about it before and here comes another one.
And then we have Shane, who is very cute and he is very into the environment, and he's replacing all the plastic straws with paper, which, okay, not to be like a bad person, but I wouldn't be happy if I was on a yacht for 3 days and all the straws were paper.
I would be very upset about that.
Get me a metal straw. I have metal straws in my home. I love them.
Yeah. Or just like, don't worry about that at this time. Like, just find something else to do. I don't know.
I just think it's funny that he's like taking it upon himself to just go around the boat and replace all the straws. And I feel
imagine he changed like the toilet paper too to like,
oh my God.
Like,
if I was
so
like
funny.
The chief stew, I would be like, excuse me, can you get away from my bar?
Well, speaking of the chief stew, I remember it was literally this week is getting by us. So I texted you, Dylan, and I was like, I need to know how you feel about this, because when we see this charter, it is a repeat charter guest who we've seen. And when we say they're needy, like, they're all needy, like, they're charter guests on yachts, like, that doesn't differentiate them. Like, yes, duh. So this was my first impression of Francesca, and this is why I really wasn't all for it. When someone, and I've mentioned this before, there's no training for these. So it boggles my mind, unless it's just for the show, that they hire a whole like crew and they're not trained. So these people should all have a training in bartending classes. It really is crazy. So Izzy, yes, we've learned, doesn't know how to make an espresso martini, which, by the way, we've noticed is the number one cocktail people order. I don't know why, but whatever. So Francesca knows how to make it, doesn't do it because she claims she has other things to do. Izzy doesn't know. The charter guest comes and makes his own drinks. And I was like,
that was bad.
Oh my God. Because, I said I blamed that on Izzy. There is no reason she should not have made those drinks at that moment. We get it.
You mean
busy.
Francesca?
Yes. Francesca. There is no reason Francesca, the chief stew, should not have made those drinks.
Yeah. I feel like the thing with the chief stew is that obviously you would hope that their staff under them knows how to do this shit, but at the end of the day, everything that's in the interior falls under them, and it's their job to sort of manage everything. And so if at the end of the day, you want the guests to be happy. So as annoying as it is that Izzy doesn't know how to make an espresso martini, if she doesn't know, then having her fumble around down there for 20 minutes isn't the proper thing to do. So
it was
the
first drink, the first order. They had just gotten on. Well, like,
yeah, it's
on.
Weird because it's like, I'm getting kind of like, do you remember Casey on Below Deck Med, the one who like faked her resume or whatever?
Yeah.
I feel like we've had that a few times on Below Deck shows where there's a stew that kind of like doesn't have the skills that they're expected to have. And, you know, we'll see if Izzy kind of gets her shit together or whether this is an ongoing thing. But it's like, I will say, like, I think Francesca handled that situation wrong, but also it's like, Izzy, like, why don't you know how to make an espresso martini?
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny because Izzy has also voiced that she likes to be outside. She doesn't want to be inside. But guess what, girlfriend? You knew coming into it that you're going to be on the interior. So, like, yes. It wasn't a surprise. It's just so funny. Every season we see this and I'm just like, could this have been avoided?
Right. It's like, it's great that you like doing both, but you knew which one you were hired for this season.
Yeah.
I'm into this crew. Obviously, it's like it's way too early to kind of have, like, you know, a lot of storylines and stuff happening, but it's fun to be in the Caribbean. I like the setting.
Yes. And also this season looks wild. Like are my lips blue? Like, do I have circulation?
I'm fine.
Okay. It's fine. Well, I was sitting on my couch and I was like, I love when you talk out loud to yourself. And I'm just like, oh my God, this looks crazy. There's so much drama. Like, I am really excited about that.
It's a great, like, season trailer. And I think they always do a good job of that on Below Deck, because no matter what the kind of overall storylines are, every 2 days there's new charter guests and there's new potential for, you know, drama and things to go wrong. And then So kind of whatever's happening with the crew, there's always a lot going on in terms of, like, the actual boat stuff.
We didn't mention a female chef that is aboard with us.
Yes, Rachel. Rachel. I wrote down her name. I know. She shows up like the most frazzled I've ever seen a person. She shows up to the boat. She apparently was in the grocery store before coming to the boat and had her purse in her cart and it got stolen. Her Louis Vuitton bag with her keys and her wallet.
And it was Louis Vuitton.
It was my Louis Vuitton. Rachel seems good. She seems like definitely like a little different vibe from the Stew crew. And her first meals were very impressive. So, you know, we'll see.
I am always hesitant about how I feel about the chefs. I'm like, wow, this looks great. And then, like, there will be the first outburst and you're like, oh my. But she, like, goes and through, opens all the drawers. She goes, great, they're here. And I'm like, duh, the bowls are here. Like, what do you think? And you know, they always talk about their resumes too and where they've cooked. And we've seen that before. And so we will see how this plays out. She looks like she knows what she's doing, but
we do see, obviously in the season trailer, we see her kind of losing her shit a little bit. So we'll see how much that takes over, whether she becomes a chef Tom or
and she make nachos. Can she make nachos? That is it.
But like Lee says in the season trailer, there's no crying and yachting. Mm-mm. And I'm excited that the season is back. I wasn't, like, looking forward to it that much, I'll be honest, because I think, like, after Below Deck Med, I was kind of like, okay, like, another boat show, like, let's go, like, not even a week off. But now that it's here, I'm like, okay, I'm into this. I'm ready.
And it's on Mondays, and obviously the Giants played Monday Night Football this week, and my uncle texted me and said, sorry, are you watching the Giants or Below Deck? And I said, Captain Lee can win a Super Bowl before the Giants this year, aka I was watching Below Deck.
My God. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get into Orange County a little bit. We picked up where we left off at Shannon's housewarming party with Bronwyn storming out after Gina kind of yelled at her about being an alcoholic, which She admits that she is. Okay, so I want to talk about, so Bronwyn, there's a few things that are kind of like contentious here. Bronwyn sees John Jansen's son wearing his lemonade shirt and says, hey, lemonade boy, can you go get my husband?
That's like number one. Shannon's very angry about that. She says it was disrespectful. Sean is talking to Gina after Bronwyn leaves and is basically like upset that she was screaming at his wife. Mm-hmm. And she says that he was getting in her face. And then also they're talking about this text. I want to know how you feel about like all three of these things. Okay.
Here I go. Lemonade boy. When she first did it, I chuckled because
I laughed,
you know. You can hear in her voice, she was frazzled. She had just left. She did not do that. Was it a little rude? Yes. He's a kid working at a party. Yeah. I don't think she was doing it to be disrespectful and to be like rude to him, but that settles that. Then Gina and Sean, I do have to go on record and say Sean was absolutely not in Gina's face. And that is a terrible thing to say because it wasn't true. He was
agree.
He didn't even, not only was he not in her face, he didn't even raise his voice. Sean is a very gentle human, it seems. And
yes,
he basically just told Gina he didn't like the way she reacted and spoke to Bronwyn. So he was sticking up for his wife. I did not appreciate the fact that Gina said he was in her face and telling multiple people that. That was,
and I liked
We
were texting about this, and I thought you said something really interesting, that if that moment hadn't been caught on camera, mm-hmm. and then Gina had been going and telling everyone that Bronwyn's husband was in her face and like blah, yeah. blah, 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 it's like this narrative of insinuating that he was doing something threatening or, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, to another woman and getting over involved. And watching how it actually played out, it was like you literally just screamed at his wife for something right. that is deeply personal and that she's really struggling with, and he's basically just saying that wasn't cool. There was no physical element to it really mm-hmm. at all. And so it's like, Gina, that's not really, it's not accurate, and also it's a little gross to be like throwing that part out there when that has nothing to do with it,
right? And so I stand by that. And then the text message, like I've said it, I think the text came off weird. It was weird. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't think Sean was like trying to get with Gina. I think he yeah. just, again, so now we see a little bit of a pattern, don't we, with Gina? She's making things up a little bit.
Right. I mean, Gina, I feel like, is an overreactor just in yes. general. Think about last season, that whole public school comment. Mm-hmm. It was like one of those things where it was like that wasn't even how it was intended, and then she took it a certain way. I think Gina, I understand to a degree, I think she has a lot of insecurities about various different things in her life, you know, her relationship with her husband, her home, her kids, her money, whatever. And so I think obviously sometimes people are being negative toward her, and that's, you know, it's justified that she's upset about that. But then I think there are some things that she just reads into too much, or takes the wrong way, or takes too far. And it's like, you are making yourself look worse than if you were just like, you know what? Yeah, I have had a rough year, like something like that. But I agree. I do think the text came off a little weird. It's like, why are you using a winky face? I don't know. But then I am on Gina's side. I don't think it was weird that she talked about the text with her friends. Like,
no, not at all.
When she was like, you've never gotten a weird text, and like sent it to your best friends to like talk about it. And she was like, no, I haven't gotten a weird yep. text. It's like, yes, Ron, you goes, come on.
No, she flat out was like, no. And Gina, at that point, Gina was like, you've never gotten a weird text. Like,
I mean,
yes, you have.
I don't want to, you know, I'm not in Bronwyn's phone. I don't know what her texts are, but like, absolutely, I've gotten a million texts that I've immediately screenshot and sent to a different group chat. Like, that is such a common thing that I'm like, I understand, like, Bronwyn can be annoyed if she wants, but it's not like weird that Gina did that.
Not at all. Hello, you have group chats for a reason. It's to talk like, about...
I hate
people.
In this situation that I'm being forced to defend Gina, but like, so I'm fair. I will say Shannon's house is very nice, but that tour made me miss like the old OC, like Shannon's original house and like Heather DeBro's
chandelier.
House when she was,
remember when Shannon's she was original?
I miss like those big, like opulent homes. It's just a different, it's more of a, it is like a Wisteria Lane vibe now, and it's fine. It's just different.
They literally, Kelly Bronwyn and Shannon remind me of Jax, Tom.
Oh my God.
The three of them have the same house. Literally.
Yes. I was confused last night. There was one scene where I was like, okay, this is definitely Shannon's house. And it wasn't. I was like, okay.
They showed the outside and it's the same house.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this season feels like they've regressed into like suburban moms, which maybe is closer to what the show originally was, to be honest. But I don't know.
You're not wrong.
Okay. So we have a lot of talk now that everyone knows that Bronwyn is sober. There's a lot of different conversations going on. Emily and Gina are talking about it. Gina talks about her dad being an alcoholic, which, you know, it's always good to be open about that stuff. But I still feel like everyone is kind of everyone except Elizabeth, honestly, is talking about it with kind of an air of like, okay, Bronwyn says she's sober, like, I guess. And it's like, I don't love the tone that this is coming with.
I know. And it's also one of those where they're like, prove it, basically. And it's like, what else does she doesn't need to prove anything to you guys. You're actually making her very uncomfortable. And it's very weird. But like, I know we don't like to put focus on this certain somebody, but when Bronwyn and Sean went over to Kelly's house and they talked about it, it's like Bronwyn is doing what she can and just like apologize. It doesn't look like an apology tour. It's not one of those. She's just like trying to have these normal conversations with these women and like letting them know what she's going through. And it takes time. It's not just like a switch and you're like, I'm good, I haven't had a drink. It's a problem.
Right. I do. So I appreciate that Elizabeth is, you know, seeming supportive, whatever. I still feel like Liz has no kind of like GPS location in this cast. Like
she's still on the show.
Because she's talking about supporting Bronwyn, and then she's also talking about Gina's situation and comparing it to when she was homeless when she was younger, living in cars and stuff. And I'm like, Gina's fine. Like Gina's not destitute. Like she's not on the streets.
And Elizabeth is talking about her divorce and like, oh, I can't talk about numbers, but it's really good. And I'm like, okay.
Right. I think it's the kind of thing where I feel like new housewives always should be given a few episodes to kind of like, you know, figure out where they fit in the cast, what their kind of vibe is. But we're four episodes in now, and I still feel like every scene that Elizabeth is in, like a one-on-one scene, I'm like, oh, right, her. Okay, I guess.
Yeah, it's we've said this before about this cast in general. Like, it's like just they didn't make the right move. I mean, we also see, I don't think anything's really happening with Emily. We haven't seen her do anything other than talk about the other women. That's it.
Did you see Watch What Happens Live last night?
Yes, I said Andy was like, did you morph into Khloe Kardashian?
She looks great. She looks great. But then the moment, so she was on with Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah.
And they played this game where they showed two house husbands and Jenny McCarthy had to say, who's the bigger dork? And it was... It was Sean Windenberg and Shane Simpson, and Jenny McCarthy had no fucking clue that Shane was Emily's husband. She goes, oh, I mean, they're both dorks. Like, they're both losers. And Andy just goes, Jenny, Jenny, that's Emily's husband. And Jenny McCarthy's face went white like a sheet of paper.
Well, why would Andy do that? Like,
Emily's like, she's like, oh my God, I didn't realize that. Emily's like, well, you just called my husband a loser right in front of my face. I was dying.
Well, this is a repeat of a situation that happened a season or two ago but nobody knows Shane is Emily's husband, apparently, like nobody. But yeah, Emily said she got her implants taken out and she lost some weight and she does look really great, but it's just like, I want to root for her and I want her to like be her own person, but I can't seem to feel that way. She's just like, I thought what she said about Bronwyn last night was really not nice, where she was talking about how she uses her nannies as like an alcohol support like team. And I was like, that's just really not nice, like, to say about someone. Yeah,
that conversation was a little messed up to me. And then also I feel like, I guess because of, you know, how the cast changed this season, they kind of had to, but they're trying to make us care about this Shannon versus Emily dynamic. And she's like, Emily, she's like, hell must have frozen over because Shannon added me to a group text. Like, she knows my name and has my phone number. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't think that Shannon versus Emily is like a rivalry that we care enough about that we should be talking about it for two seasons in a row. You know, it's like, I liked the like fun Shannon, fun Emily. But like now yeah. It's like, oh, that's still happening. Like, I forget that they're even fighting. Or that they don't like each other.
But the thing, exactly, because they don't even show it. Like, they showed us text message. They don't even show them on the same screen together. So it's like, all right. But I do appreciate, going back to Gina, that they're showing Matt's girlfriend on the show. I think that's really nice that they're showing that, like, they're a family dynamic.
So Gina invites Matt and his girlfriend to their daughter's birthday party, which is nice. I think we're going to see that next week. Mm-hmm. And then also we have Bronwyn's vow renewal in Palm Springs coming up, which we love a housewife's vow renewal. I think that was like the last thing they filmed before the shutdown.
And we know vow renewals, they really age well. So,
yeah, we'll see. Barry, between all of these shows, who's your number one Bravo Lab in the group this week?
I got to give it to Captain Lee. I have to. I've missed him. I thought he handled his shower fall like a champ, and I'm just excited to see him back.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to who else? I'm going to give it to Captain Lee also. Big ups to him for, you know, being on the boat, even though he's clearly in pain and, you know, there's no crying and yachting. So good job, Captain Lee.
I loved when the charter guest came and they gave him a hug, and I was like, ooh, 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 like gentle. I really did feel that.
Don't forget to check out our Bravo by Betches merch collection on shopbetches.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches and rate, review, subscribe to the podcast.
We will see you tomorrow.
Stay safe, stay sane, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Betches.